I'd like to point out that the focus of my talk has changed somewhat. I'm actually talking specifically today about microbial respiration rather than multiple components that make up total respiration. I'm also going to be talking specifically about the influence of logging debris retention on microbial respiration rather than just harvesting. Okay, so just as a brief background, soil carbon cycling can be altered following harvesting. This is for two reasons. One, we have cessation of carbon inputs from both above and below ground sources. But probably more importantly is we have loss of the forest canopy, which can cause fairly large increases in soil temperature and changes in soil moisture. Since we know that these factors have a strong controlling influence on microbial activity, it's been hypothesized and shown experimentally that decomposition can increase following harvesting, assuming moisture doesn't become limiting in the process. So although there's potential loss of soil carbon via dissolved forms, the primary mode of this would be as microbial respiration, CO2 leaving the soil surface. There's potential for management practices to mitigate this alteration, specifically logging debris can mitigate it by there's carbon sources within logging debris, so carbon that's within that can enter the soil as either particulate or dissolved forms. But more importantly, again, is it modifies the soil environment, so it can intercept soil radiation causing a general cooling of the soil environment and changes in soil moisture. Although we know based on theory that this can have an influence on microbial respiration, there really hasn't been a lot of studies that have examined it. We have this large history of bowl-only versus whole tree type experiments looking at changes in total soil carbon pools, but not really the factors that contribute to changes or no observed changes that have been shown in a number of those studies. So it's important we want to determine how microbial respiration varies with logging debris abundance and also the factors that control it. So we designed an experiment to address that. We have two primary objectives. One is just to determine if logging debris can influence microbial respiration. And two is whether or not the soil environment is primarily driving the changes, because we always focus on soil temperature and moisture as being the most important controlling factors. We wanted to determine if there was potential for other factors to contribute. We applied treatments of 0, 40, and 80% logging debris applied around a fairly small area. We had a small experimental unit of about 4 meters square. And the reason for using that unit was just the increase in experimental control that it provided. In terms of site characteristics, these sites are located in the Pacific Northwest. We have two sites that contrast fairly strongly in soils. The site at Malala, which is located in the West Cascades of Oregon, has a fairly fine textured soil. It's developed from basic agglomerate rock in place. We have a fairly total high soil carbon to a depth of 60 centimeters, about 200 megagrams per hectare. Look at the other site, which is at Matlock in the Olympic Peninsula of Washington. It's a fairly coarse textured soil. It's developed in glacial outwash. Not only coarse texture, but it has a lot of coarse fragments. It's actually defined as being skeletal. And because of that, those factors, we have total soil carbon that can be left almost half of what's at Malala. In terms of climate variables, mean annual air temperature doesn't really vary too much by the two sites, but we can have total differences in the annual precipitation that vary by quite a bit. So at Matlock, we have on average about 250 centimeters of precipitation, and at Malala, it's about 180. For those of you who aren't familiar with the Pacific Northwest, almost all of our precipitation falls in the winter. So sometime around June, rainstorms cease, and we can have a period of prolonged summer drought ranging anywhere from 2 to 4 months. Okay, so we measure microbial respiration in situ. And I want to emphasize microbial respiration. Total soil respiration, such as the two previous talks, have talked about just measuring CO2 flux from the surface of the soil. That includes both heterotrophic and autotrophic sources. We attempted to measure microbial respiration by driving a soil core into the ground to a depth of 30 centimeters, which severs all roots and prohibits future root ingrowth. So the idea is at that time we're measuring more or less microbial respiration. At the time of measurement, we measured soil temperature and moisture. And then each year we brought soils in June. We collected soils from each replication, brought them in, incubated them at constant temperature and moisture in order to remove the effect of those variables on respiration. So then we could determine if any other factors contributing to the response. This was measured, we did these measurements over a 2-year period, starting in 2005 until 2007. Okay, so there's a lot of data here. I'm gonna walk you through it. First of all, I'd like to point out that all the data from Matlock, the coarse textured soils on the left, all the data from Malala, finer textured soils on the right. We look at the top series of graphs at soil temperature in degrees Celsius. The middle graphs are volumetric soil water content. The bottom graphs are CO2 flux in micromoles per meter squared per second. First, I'd like to point out some differences and similarities between sites. If we look at across both sites, temperature is a huge controlling factor in respiration. We can see it can respond fairly quickly to changes in temperature, such as when it's cold. Peak respiration generally occurs at peak temperature points, and the pattern follows for both seasons and similar across both sites. In terms of soil moisture, however, it seems it's only important at Matlock, and we can demonstrate this in two ways. One, if we look at minimum respiration temperatures that occurred at Matlock, they occurred about August of 06. Just focusing on 2006. That corresponded with minimum soil water content. Even though we had sufficient soil temperatures still for respiration, soil moisture became limiting to microbial activity, and we had a reduction in soil microbial respiration. When the rainstorms increased the next month, we had an increase in soil water content, and respiration responded to that because we still had sufficient soil temperatures. Probably more strikingly is we can look at differences between years at Matlock. So in 2007, minimum soil water content was about 8% higher than what occurred in 2006. And what corresponded with that was an almost 30% increase in microbial respiration regardless of treatment. Although moisture is certainly important at Malala, it doesn't seem to be driving or become limiting to the process. We don't see these patterns that we see at Matlock at Malala. And it's not that it's not important, it's more that within the range of soil water content that we observed during these 2 years, it didn't seem to be limiting respiration. We now turn to treatment effects. First of all, the black line on top is the 0 degree treatment, the green line is the 40 degree treatment, and the red line is the 80 degree treatment. Starting with soil temperature, there was a significant effect of logging debris on soil temperature where we had decreasing temperature with increasing logging debris retention. And these are significant primarily only in the summer months, as we'd expect. If we look at soil respiration, the general trend more or less falls true. However, only treatment effects are only significant during the summer, and only the 80 degree treatment was significantly lower than the 0 degree treatment. The 40 degree treatment more or less, there's no difference with the 0 degree treatment, but it does tend to fall in between the 0 and the 80, although there are certainly exceptions. So given that there's significant effects on soil temperature, significant effects on the microbial respiration, it seems like a lot of the process is driven by changes in temperature. If we look at soil water content, that doesn't seem to contribute to changes amongst treatment. And we can see this by looking at there's no significant differences in soil water content between the 0 and the 80 degree treatment. And also, interestingly, is the 40 degree treatment tends to have the lowest soil water content. So when we brought these soils into the lab, we removed the effect of temperature and moisture, and we still saw similar patterns. We saw significantly higher respiration in the 0 degree treatment compared to the 40 and the 80 in 2006. 2007, similar patterns, not the magnitude of the effects were not as great, and they were only significant at Matlock, not Malala. In general, the results indicate that there's some other factor contributing to these effects. And two possibilities are differences in microbial community, whether it's a difference in the functional structure of the community or in the microbial biomass, or some kind of carbon effect. Carbon effect might seem counterintuitive because we're talking about a treatment where there was no above ground carbon retained. But Powers and others have pointed out the importance of root decomposition following when you have treatments that have no biomass retention. So potentially we could have increased decomposition of the previous stand's root system. Okay, so to examine that first possibility, we performed PLFA analysis on the 2007 incubations. We used principal component analysis to see if we could determine any structural difference in the community. And they're really principal component analysis did not do a good job of separating the communities, indicating that there's really no difference in the structural, the functional structure of the microbial communities. However, at Malala, there was a significant decrease in microbial biomass in the 0 degree treatment, and although not significant at Matlock, the completely opposite pattern was observed, where we had microbial biomass, I'm talking about total PLFA, it's really actually an indicator of microbial biomass. We looked at relationships between these microbial variables. We found a linear correlation between total PLFA, again as an indicator of microbial biomass, and CO2 flux that occurred during the 2007 incubation. That seems to indicate that maybe some of these changes are in response to changes in the microbial community in terms of the amount of biomass. However, there was no significant correlations between those variables at Molalla that was only found at Matlock. So I took the total PFA as an indication of microbial biomass and expressed CO2 flux as a function of that amount. Essentially, this is an estimate of the metabolic quotient. At Matlock, there was no significant differences amongst treatments, but at Molalla, there was significantly higher carbon dioxide produced per unit PLFA, or per unit microbial biomass, compared to the 0 and 40 degree treatments. And some have used this as an indication of stress within the community. People have suggested pH and water content could be factors driving this. Those are not different amongst these treatments. I'm thinking that this could possibly indicate that there's actually some kind of carbon effect. Not so much in terms of carbon quantity, but maybe more like carbon quality, where the carbon that's existing out there now after 2 years of treatment might be a lower quality and the microbes have to consume more in order to meet their metabolic needs. Okay, so just to summarize, it appears that in the Pacific Northwest, total precipitation isn't so much an important controller of microbial respiration. It seems to be more driven by soil physical properties, essentially water holding capacity, where in the coarse textured soil we'd have much lower water holding capacity compared to the finer textured soil at Molalla. It's apparent that logging debris can affect microbial respiration. It was significantly reduced in the 80 degree treatment, and that seems to be mostly driven by changes in soil temperature. Somewhat contrast to that with the 40% coverage, where we had significant decreases in temperature but really no change in respiration, could be for two reasons. One is simply, even though they're statistically significant, the changes in temperature might not be biologically important. And two, there could possibly be some kind of compensating factor. If you recall, soil water content was always low underneath the 40 degree treatment, and that might offset any changes due to reductions in temperature. The incubations clearly showed, certainly in 2006 and at least partly in 2007, that other factors are contributing to the response besides just temperature. Seems that there's some evidence for a microbial effect, at least at one of the sites. And there's also this potential for the quantity or quality effect. I showed you the results from the metabolic quotient seems to possibly indicate that, or it's mostly based on my interpretation. So I really have to assess that. We're currently in the progress of seeing if there's any differences in these variables by treatment. And the last thing is that I've gotten is looking at this data for the last few months is it just seems that we've always considered microbial respiration as largely a function of soil temperature and moisture. And it seems like factors controlling it are much more complex, and it's probably likely that the interactions amongst these factors vary temporally. It probably should be considered when we're trying to assess changes in microbial respiration. Take any questions. Yes. So I drove the cores in 6 months previous, and although I did not assess the change, there's been a number of studies that have shown generally for fine root decomposition, 6 months, especially during the summer months, is sufficient to consume those roots that were severed. If there was an artifact associated with that, I would have hoped that the artifact of anything that existed after that point, especially with having the winter when respiration measures are low, would have been constant over all the treatments. But